Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world. And welcome to today's webinar, Intelligently Manage Your Application Environment and Deliver Rich User Experiences Faster with WebSphere Application Server V8. This is the third part of a five-part series on small-scale IT projects for big-time business results, brought to you by Information Week, IBM, and United Business Media TechWeb. I'm Lenny Liebman, and I'll be your moderator today. And to ensure that this webinar is as interactive as possible, I'd like to make a few announcements before we begin. At this time, we recommend that you disable your pop-up blockers. The webcast is designed to be interactive, and it does make use of pop-ups or widgets to help you interact with the presenters. You can launch these widgets from the docking tray at the bottom of your console. Some of them will open in a separate browser window. You can resize them by dragging the lower right corner. You can move them by dragging the top bar or minimize them by clicking on the blue button in the upper right-hand corner. There will be a Q&A session at the end of the presentation, but you can submit questions anytime during the webcast and get them in our queue. You do that just by typing your question into the Ask a Question text area and then click the Submit button. Also, at a few points during this presentation, we're going to ask you questions in the form of a poll. And we ask that you would please participate in this poll so we get as representative a sample as we can. You'll just click the answer and then click Submit Answer. Slides will advance automatically throughout the event. You can download a copy of the slides by clicking on the download slide icon, which is located below the presentation window. And towards the end of the program, we will ask for your feedback in a separate pop-up form. If you experience any technical problems, please visit our webcast help guide by clicking on the help icon on the far right of the docking tray at the bottom of your webcast console. In addition, you can contact our technical support helpline, the number for which is located in the webcast help guide. So now on to today's presentation, Intelligently Manage Your Application Environment and Deliver Rich User Experiences Faster with WebSphere Application Server Version 8. Our speakers today will be Joachim Gucker, who is COO and IT architect at ARS Computer and Consulting. That's a Munich-based IBM partner, been around for 17 years, and Joachim has been involved with WebSphere since its 1.0 launch. We also have with us today Savio Rodriguez, who is a program director for WebSphere Product Management at IBM. He's been with IBM for 11 years, and he is the app server guru who can answer all your questions and has a great in-depth presentation for us today. So, Savio, I'm going to kick it off to you first. I think you have some preliminary announcements you want to give us.
Great. Thanks, Lenny. Yes, so just on this chart, we wanted to provide the standard IBM disclaimer, and for this discussion, it's really the third bullet here around performance. So we're going to talk about some performance results that we have from our labs. We want to just ensure the customers understand that these are based on lab environments, and your environment may be a little bit different, so you may see different performance results. Okay, next slide, please. All right, so in terms of the agenda today, Joachim's going to talk about the experience that he and his company has had with WebSphere Application Server version 8 during the early alpha and beta program, and then we're going to jump into some details in terms of WAS version 8. There are a lot of charts and lots of content to cover, so we are going to go through some of them in rapid fashion, but we want to ensure that there are time for questions at the end of the session here. Next chart. Okay, next chart, please. And Joachim, I'll pass this on to you to talk about your experiences.
Thank you very much, Savio. As you said, we started with the open alpha beginning last year. Then changed into the closed managed beta program or a web application server version 8 early experience program, which for us started around August with really intense testing. It was a lot of fun. We learned a lot, and we are pretty excited about the new version. And I wanted to present some of the things we did and what we liked very much. So next slide, please. So perhaps before I say which features we liked most, I should say how we tested. We had a lot of test code that we either wrote specially to test new JEE6 features and functions or a new web application server 8 functionality. And we had four real applications that we tested against WebC application server version 8 in different beta versions. So inside the beta, there's several code drops, and we tested stuff against several of these. And from those four applications, three, which came from 6.1 and 7.0, worked just fine from scratch. We didn't have to change anything. And one gave us a little concern first because a certain functionality inside it, based on OSGI and the Eclipse-based rich AJAX program, didn't work. But that wasn't a bug. It was an expected behavior. We just wanted to see whether it would happen, because the rich AJAX project is using OSGI in some cases in a way that is outside the OSGI enterprise spec, as it is implemented in Arias, Apache Arias, and in the web applications of version 8. So that part that didn't work was expected, and when we just commented out that function, the rest of the application just worked fine. So we could take it live. It's even working here internally on the beta code. So overall, all four big things that we tested worked well, and all the small things was about 35 different aspects of new functionality and spec that we had as part of our project plan and iterated through. So what was now the highlight list of the features that we like most? So of course, OSGI, I already mentioned it, it's very important for us that it's now an integral part of the application server, the basic application server, without that a customer has to decide to install a feature pack for OSGI on top. So it's just there. And we think that makes a lot of sense because OSGI is augmenting JEE with a very important functionality for versioning, for exchanging functionality in production without taking an application down. It really was something that JEE was missing for a long time. And now bringing those two programming models together is really exciting and will help in a lot of cases to build better and more flexible applications. And even outside JEE, OSGI has a lot of traction and gets a lot of interest. Customers are building stuff on top of OSGI, and we help them. So that's what we like most. Then the second thing is that the WebC application server, of course, is a full JEE version 6 application server and not just supporting a subset, for example, the JEE 6 web profile, as some other application servers do. So here we really get the full JEE spectrum of functionality, and that's something we value very high, especially as we like to work with enterprise Java beans a lot. A thing that comes more from the administrative side, from Web Application Server, which makes life a lot easier in some cases, is the possibility to add a node to a cell as existing node. So it's not a blank new node that takes its properties into the cells. No, it replaces an existing cell. This seems to be a very abstract thing, but what it enables you to do, I think Savio will explain it even with some slides later, but you can replace or migrate a node in a cell by using this. And it solves some issues and some wishes even from customers very elegantly. So that's cool. even the new SDK commands, so you can query what SDKs are available on the system for the application server, which ones you use, and administratively change which SDK to pick. It's very helpful. Many customers work with different versions and different SDKs, so that's good. And our DB2 database administrators, they got really thrilled. The more senior, the more thrilled when we told them that with Web Application Server version 8, there is a support for shared locks with DB2. That's something that you only would see in the past with a Web Application Server for COS and a DB2 for COS. So that's a really, really nice thing where stuff that host people saw as just for them is coming to the other platforms. Another thing that is a very neat extension to the way how you deploy applications and change properties for applications and Web Application Server is monitored directory deployment, where the application server, the running application server, picks up in certain defined directories. If you copy artifacts like ear files, war files into them, or property files into them, and then deploys them. This may be a part of a build and deployment chain that you set up, where the last step is copying those artifacts to the application server after they have been quality tested and went to staging, and they just go into production or last staging phase through such a deployment without using scripting or without using a GUI, an administrative GUI. So that's a cool thing. There is something like this in Web Application Server for development purposes for a long time now, but as I said, it was for development purposes, and this new monitor directory deployment, that's for production stuff. So that's a cool thing, and I think many customers would love to use it. So, and talk about customers. Next slide, please. We have several customers that are now planning to leapfrog version 7 and just jump from 6.1 to 8.0 because they see so much benefit in going to the version 8 version at once. So about the program, so it was very easy for us to enroll into the early experience program. The people we worked with were extremely responsive, proactive, helpful in many ways. We got excellent contact back into the architect and the development community with our questions, very good feedback, had good discussions, and things that were discussed made it into the product. So that's always a highlight when you're working in a beta program, to see that things that you discuss with the lab people, then really see the light at the end. That was cool, and we had several beta code drops where we incrementally got new functionality and we knew when to expect what. So that helped in planning, that helped in testing, and it's of course much easier than having all the new stuff at once, no changes. So we really like IBM's process here. And the last thing that I want to say that we enjoy a lot is with our own projects and talking with our customers is the feature pack approach, so that you can get new functionality that is supported between releases and decide whether you want them, you don't want them, and incorporate them into a productive supported application server environment. So this really helps the idea of enhancing the programming models that you may use with the product and to incorporate new technology in an earlier stage, but with quality and support. So that's cool stuff. Java Batch is one of those things that now came into version 8, and I think Savio will talk about that. Sorry, next slide, please. That's just contact data, so if you want to ask us about our experiences and our non-disclosure agreements with IBM allow us to do so, we will happily tell you about our experiences in more detail, and I only can, if you're using Web Application Server in your business, I only can encourage you to work with IBM in such early projects. It's It's fun, and it has a real benefit. So thanks, Fabio. Back to you.
Great. Thanks, Joachim. Thanks for the great feedback on version 8 itself. So now let's switch gears and talk about some of the details on WAS version 8, and we'll switch to the next chart, please. Now, what you're going to see here on this one chart is a very high-level summary of everything that's in WAS version 8. Now, clearly we don't have time to go through all of the details here in an hour. It could take several hours considering the major release that we're launching here. But what we want to be able to do here with WAS version 8 is really help customers along three fronts. The first one is in terms of speeding the delivery of applications and services, and we'll talk about some new features that help customers do so. The second aspect is around operational efficiency and reliability of the application environment and new features that are helping customers there. And then finally, in terms of security and control from an administrative standpoint, to give customers the overall productivity and TCO benefits that they're looking for. So let's move on to the next chart, please.
Great. Savio, can I ask the take care of this polling question for you?
Please do.
Great. We're going to ask the audience a polling question before each of those three sections that Savio just described. So the first one you see is in front of you. And in this one, we're going to ask you to please tell us which of the following is your biggest application development challenge today. And again, we'll be asking separate questions about operational challenges and administrative challenges later. But in terms of application development challenges, is it delivering new applications to the business faster? Is it the relentless pace of change that you're being asked to implement in existing applications? Is it the fact that you have to deliver applications for new platforms, especially mobile? Is it making application components and functionality available to others in the organization for reuse and extension, maybe partners and customers as well? Or is it driving down really your overall cost of development? So if you could click one of those, that would be great. And we will take a look at the results. And Joachim, I'm going to ask you, you're going to see these results in front of you in a minute, and I'm just going to ask you if you would comment on what you're seeing here and whether it reflects what you're seeing in your customers over there in Germany.
Yes, I think I have the bars now in front of me. We see a lot of the new mobile applications, especially tablets and the Android platform, are things that move on developing applications, business applications for mobile that have an application server in the backend a lot. And of course, change is an issue for everyone. That's just how life in IT is. So yeah, I think that's pretty typical.
Yeah, Savio, it looks like change has come in first place. Is that what you're used to seeing among your customers?
Absolutely. This is one of the key concerns here. Change and doing more with less, and not surprised by the results here.
Great. Well, now that we have a little insight into our audience, Savio, why don't you go ahead and continue with your presentation?
Okay, great. So one of the things that we've done in terms of helping customers and developers out is made WebTer Application Server for developers free and available at no charge for use on a developer desktop. I've provided the URL here because a lot of customers are interested in WAS for developers. So we made this change late last year or early last year, and it's continuing with WAS version 8 also. Let's move to the next chart where we talk about one of the features, and Joachim mentioned this briefly. So this is a new capability that we've provided for enhancing developer productivity. Maybe I'll take one step back here. And from a WAS version 8 standpoint, there's really three key areas. One is around performance, and you'll see some of our performance data. Second is around programming model breadth. And the reason that we drive programming model breadth is so that we can help customers and developers better align their skills and the needs of the project with the programming model that they'd like to use. And then finally, in terms of automation and the productivity and the reduction in errors that's driven through automation. Now, this is one example of automation from a developer standpoint to help productivity. So with the monitor directory support, you're able to add, update, or delete files in the directory, and as a result, WAS will deploy, redeploy, or undeploy the app. And this is helpful during the edit, compile, and debug developer lifecycle, but it's also supported for use in a production environment, as Yuting mentioned. So we'll move on to the next chart here. And this one just talks about the breadth of programming models that are supported in WebSphere Application Server version 8. The way we do this, as you mentioned, is starting with our feature pack strategy, where we offer new standards and new programming models earlier on a stable base, and our intent is generally to take those programming models and standards and make them part of the next major release of WebSphere Application Server. We provide that breadth in terms of programming models because it helps customers choose the best programming model for the project at hand. Now let's touch on a couple of these programming models. The first one on the next chart is Java EE6. I think many customers are aware of EE6. And from a programming model standpoint, EE6 really offers some cool developer productivity enhancements, helps developers create improved user experiences with true support for RESTful applications and AJAX apps. And it also has tighter integration across various specifications in the EE specification itself. We won't go through all the details because I think some of the folks on this call would be familiar with EE6. One thing I will mention is from an enterprise-grade application server standpoint, WAS is the first enterprise-grade, enterprise-ready application server to announce support for EE6. Some of the key capabilities, for instance, EJB3.1, you're now able to test outside of the EJB container using Java SE alone. Lots of simplicity in terms of developers from the standpoint of packaging EJBs into WARs. Better support for long-running requests through new async method invocation support, and better support for timers in general. Other examples include JAX-RS, which has the better support for RESTful applications and being able to quickly expose your EES assets through RESTful interfaces, JSF2, which includes support for AJAX lifecycles, customization and usage of skins, and better performance and UI composition capabilities through facelift support. Another one is CDI, so tighter integration between the web and transactional tiers, so between JSF and EJBs. And then in terms of tighter integration and developer productivity, Bean Validation 1.0 is a good example. So it's a declarative way of describing validation constraints in data, so there's less of a need to write and maintain validation logic multiple times and in multiple locations in your business logic. And it's Bean Validation is also integrated with several other EE specs. So for instance, it's integrated with JSF to ensure that you capture valid data to begin with. It's integrated with JPA to ensure that you don't persist incorrect data. So some really cool enhancements from a EE6 standpoint that is fully supported as part of WAS version 8. I'll move to the next chart and talk about probably the most interesting customer projects that are being driven right now, and Yuking mentioned the interest in mobile and tablets and so forth. With WAS version 8, we offer a fast and simple way to extend WAS applications to mobile web browsers. So we're offering new mobile UI and RIA widgets for building apps that target web browsers, whether on the desktop or on a mobile device. So we're including some great new visualization widgets like maps, gauges, graphs from our iLog visualization portfolio to help speed the creation of rich UIs like dashboards onto mobile devices or onto your traditional web browser on a traditional desktop environment. Now this feature pack is supported on WAS version 8, but also we've pulled it back and also supporting it on version 7 and 6.1. Next chart, please. So one of the other cool programming models that are supported in WAS version 8, this started out as a feature pack on version 7, is now fully integrated into version 8, and we've added some new capability, OSGI applications. So I think many customers are familiar with with Spring. And what OSGI Applications delivers is the standardized Spring component model. So we worked with our friends over at SpringSource to standardize the Spring component model. Spring provided the reference implementation. The OSGI Applications programming model is the IBM implementation of the Spring component model. Lots of enhancements in terms of developers and administrators. From a developer standpoint, a lot of productivity and simplicity enhancements, like simpler dependency management, simpler class path and module visibility. And we've also included really cool integration of OSGI with your Java EE assets through our support for SCA. So you're able to build new compositions of applications using your existing Java EE assets and your new or existing OSGI assets. We'll talk about some of the administrative productivity enhancements later on, but this is one of the feature packs on version 7, which is now integrated in version 8, which from a programming model standpoint has gotten a lot of customer interest. So I'll move to the next chart and talk about another programming model that's supported and integrated in WAS version 8, SCA. So what SCA allows you to do is separate your business logic from the implementation details to help you deliver your SOA apps faster. So you're able to compose POJOs, EJBs, servlets, and OSGI bundles along with AJAX and JavaScript components. And you're able to wire these together, full support for EJB 3.x and Spring components for usage in these compositions. SCA is another programming model that WAS delivers that we're one of the only vendors that offers SCA support as part of your base application server to really help you reuse your existing assets and pull them together into a composite SOA application faster. Next, I'll talk about a programming model that's now integrated into WAS version 8. It came out as a feature pack late last year, and we got a lot of great customer feedback, the batch programming model. So think of WAS as now having a batch container. So in the past, you've got a web container, an EJB container, and now you have a batch container. So what you're able to do is drive concurrent execution of batch and OLTP workloads using shared business logic on shared infrastructure. From a developer standpoint, you get a framework to use much like Spring Batch. From an administrative standpoint, you get to reuse your existing admin skills with WAS because it's fully integrated with the WAS admin console. And WAS, as a container, handles the work in terms of checkpointing, restarting the batch workloads. As customers may require additional capabilities like enterprise scheduling, job throttling, or workload management, there's an easy upgrade path to continue on and use Webster Compute Grid, and your existing batch jobs that have been created with WAS will move without change there. I'll move on to the next programming model we support in terms of WAS version 8, XML. So if you're working with structured data and you want to do so in a high-performance fashion in terms of processing or querying XML data, the XML programming model in WAS version 8 is exactly what you're looking for with support for XPath2, XSLT, and XQuery 1. I'll move to the next chart here, and this is a programming model that, you know, when we show customers the results, that they're frankly very surprised at how quickly we can add some of these capabilities. So CEA, Communications-Enabled Applications, lets you add communications capabilities like click-to-call or co-browsing to your existing desktop or mobile applications with as little as 3 lines of code. So we provide simple widgets and REST-based environments for you to build the communications-enabled applications, and very, very simple to use, full support for mobile devices, and we've gotten a lot of great customer feedback because of how easy it is to add these capabilities into your existing or new applications. Next chart I'll talk to you about here is Rational Application Developer. Two things to note here. I think many customers are aware that Rational Application Developer is the premier development environment for Webster Application Server with full support for the programming models that are delivered in Webster Application Server. What you may not be aware of is the new edition of RAD Standard Edition, which is a lower price point packaging of rational application developer. It does offer some of the core capabilities of RAD at a lower price point, and we've had some interest there in terms of customers that are looking at their total cost of ownership. IBM intends to deliver a version of RAD and RAD SE which would support WAS version 8 in 2Q of 2011. Moving on to the next chart, another new feature that we're including with WAS version 8 is the inclusion of development and test entitlement to WebSphere adapters to make it easier for you to build applications that integrate with ERP applications. All right, so on the next chart now, let's switch gears from work that we've done and new capabilities that we've delivered in WAS version 8 that help speed the delivery of apps and services, and now let's talk about some of the new enhancements in terms of operational efficiency and reliability. And Lenny, I'll turn it over to you for the polling question here.
Great, and that was quite a dense overview of the application development features. I'm sure, Savio, you could probably do a whole hour just on communications-enabled applications. That's
absolutely
a feature. So I'm going to encourage our audience to download these slides and get some more information afterwards. But, yes, let's move on to the operational side. And, again, we have another polling question in front of you, and it is whether your biggest operational challenge today is meeting your users' rising performance expectations. So that's the performance side, whether it's meeting continually escalating availability demands. I think users are getting less and less tolerant of even momentary outages. Getting your installs done right and done quickly so you get in production without a hitch, or ensuring your ongoing ability to quickly and accurately troubleshoot any problems if and when they might emerge in production. So if you could submit your answer to that, again, that'll just give Savio a little bit of guidance as to who he's talking to and what your particular issues are. And we'll give this just a moment to tabulate the results, and then I'll push them out to you guys. And once again, Savio and Joachim, too, I'm going to ask you if what you're seeing here reflects what you're seeing in the marketplace, especially performance expectations actually being kind of the biggest nut that our audience probably has to crack.
Savio, you first this time?
Okay, sure. So we do absolutely see a focus on performance, and largely because of the TCO benefits that's driven by performance. So if I'm able to do the same amount of workload on fewer servers, I need less real estate, I need less power, I need less administrative tasks. So all of that rolls into better TCO for the end customer, and that's something they've been asking us for, and that's absolutely something that we're delivering with WAS version 8.
Hey, Joachim, can you see the results, and do you have anything you want to comment about the extent to which they reflect what you're seeing in the larger marketplace?
Yeah, we're seeing this too, especially customers or end users of applications love new functionality, but they don't want to pay for it with response times that are getting longer. So if it has to be the same price on the runtime side, the runtime has to get faster and faster all the time.
Yeah, and I think users' expectations, of course, are always controlled by their last very best experience. So I don't think users, you're right, take into account how much functionality you're delivering versus something else they've experienced, even on the consumer side. They just start to develop expectations for click and it's there. So, Savio, are you going to now continue talking about the operational side?
Absolutely. And so no surprise that performance is top of mind with customers here. And what we like to do is talk about performance in terms of some benchmark data that we've published and that our friends over at Oracle have published. So when we look at the focus that Oracle and IBM now have in terms of hardware plus software for integrated workload-optimized systems, and we put our best hardware and software up against Oracle's best hardware and software, what you start to see is that there is a very wide gap in terms of performance. So when you compare Power 7 with WAS with DB2 versus Oracle Spark T3-4 with WebLogic and Oracle Database, the IBM solution provides 76% better throughput, and we were able to do so at a 51% lower initial cost from a licensing standpoint. So this is some really good value for customers, both in terms of performance, but also in terms of cost and frankly, overall total cost of ownership. Now, I'll shift gears on the next chart here and speak directly about performance enhancements from a WAS version 8 standpoint. I mentioned we had a big focus on performance, and the focus was because of the emphasis that performance drives in terms of overall TCO. Now, from a straight throughput standpoint, transactional performance of WAS version 7 is up to 20% better than version 8 for EJBs, and up to 26% better on version 8 versus Spring on WAS version 7. Over and above just straight transactional or throughput performance, we've been focused on performance across the product. So whether it's 15% faster startup time, 15% faster installations, 20% faster startup time for developers, nearly 70% faster app server creation time in a large topology, also 11% better vertical scaling on a multi-core system. So across the board, we've really driven some great performance enhancements in WAS version 8. So I'll move to the next chart here and talk about some other capabilities that drive reliability drive down overall TCO. One aspect is high availability. So we've done some HA improvements for messaging applications and with DB2 backends through better support for rerouting requests to MQ or to DB2 when MQ or DB2 becomes unavailable. We've also got some great new transactional integrity features through shared database locks during a transactional branch. And Yuki mentioned some of the feedback he's getting from his database administrators about this feature and the key capability and the overall value that that's driving in terms of what customers can do and can expect with WAS version 8. I'll move to the next chart to continue in terms of some of the HA improvements. So really, some of the other improvements from an HA standpoint have driven some developer simplification and also administrative control over both JCA connection factories and relational database data sources. So administrators can now tailor and configure data sources and connection factories much more simply and frankly based on the needs of the individual applications itself. I'll move to the next chart and talk a little bit more about the thought that we talked about initially around automation. So we talked about automation from a developer standpoint with the edit, compile, and debug lifecycle. We've also added a new install technology here, which really drives automation during the install and maintenance process. So based on IBM Installation Manager, IAM, which is short for IBM Installation Manager, handles the dependency checks, pulls down the right versions of the product that you want for the environment that you have. So you just pick a level of WAS or WAS components, for instance, IHS, that you want to install, and then IAM will go and do the rest of the work. It'll do dependency checking. It'll pull down the right versions, the right fix packs, the right iFixes that are required to get you to the version you're looking for. There's both command line and GUI options. And one thing to mention here is this is a lot faster and simpler to use. But it's also the same install technology that other IBM products like Rational Application Developer and WebSphere Process Server are using. And so watch for more and more products in the IBM family to start using IBM Installation Manager so you're getting better value of the skills that you're building with IAM. On the next chart, I'll talk about some enhancements that we're driving in terms of installation on disparate systems. So centralized installation and maintenance is provided through SIM version 8, which is driven through IBM Installation Manager. It's integrated with Job Manager and Deployment Manager so that you can centrally install and maintain Base, Express, and ND environments. And you're able to do so not just for WAS, but the HTTP server, the application clients, the secure proxy, and the web server plugins itself. Another new feature on the next chart here, high-performance extensible logging. So this is a new binary log and trace framework. It's up to 6x faster than WAS version 7, and being a binary log has much less impact on a running system when you do actually have to, you know, turn on the log or the trace. You can also format the information captured as you wish, including formatting it in the same format as the version 7 logging. Okay, so let me shift gears now and talk about some of the new enhancements from the standpoint of control and security itself.
Great. And again, before we go into that section, we're going to ask a control and security question of the audience, and that is, what your biggest administrative challenge is, and is it actually reducing the time and cost required for these administrative tasks? Is it to simplify the rollout of application updates after you complete them? Is it, from a security point of view, preventing unauthorized application access, making sure permissions are controlled with sufficient granularity, et cetera, et cetera? Or is it migrating applications from other or older environments for whatever infrastructure purposes you have to fulfill? So if you can submit your answer to that question, we can continue, and we'll take a quick look at the results. And I think, Joachim, we're going to ask you to go first. Again, give yourself just a second, and you should see the bars there. And it looks like migration is number one. Are you surprised by that at all?
Well, yes. We have difficult economic times behind us, and of course, cost for housekeeping is always reduced as much as possible, and migrating to newer environments is always something that is that lags behind. And now, as things are also picking up here in Germany again, customers start to do all the backlog of migrations. So I'm not surprised that it's number one. But reducing administrative time and costs as number two is also not very surprising. I refer to one customer having a project calling a deployment in 1 hour. That's for production, for a complex production system, and he came from much higher times. So, yeah, that's always an imperative.
Got you. Savio, any comment on these before you go on with the rest of your presentation?
No, these are very much in line with what we're seeing, and we've got some great new capabilities from a migration standpoint that we'll touch on later in this this deck here.
Go ahead.
All right, so let's jump into it. So in terms of WAS version 8, we've got some new automation capabilities to help create cells from a template, and you know, this really drives repeatability, consistency, and frankly, reduction in errors. So you're able to create a template and then stamp out, you know, that template in your various environments, whether it's different data centers or branch offices or whatever the case may be, but you're able to do so in an automated and consistent fashion with WAS version 8 now. And another related capability here is, and you came touched on this initially, you're able to automate the movement of WAS nodes from an existing machine or an existing operating system to a new machine or a new operating system. And then finally, on the next chart, with the same capability, you're able to recover from a node that may get damaged. And he mentioned, you know, some of the value that he was seeing and he and his customers have seen through this capability. On the next chart, we'll talk about some additional administrative productivity enhancements. So, you know, being able to simply create, augment, and delete profiles on remote nodes. Also, the option to select Java SDKs to use amongst supported Java SDKs. Now, one of the questions that we usually get asked is, you know, what version of Java will WAS version 8 go out on? And because Java 7 is not yet fully released, we are going to support the IBM Java SDK 6.2.6 that has some of the improvements from a performance and security standpoint that some customers would be looking for in Java 7. We've pulled them forward into our 6.2.6 release, and the feature we just mentioned here in terms of being able to optionally select among supported Java SDKs is something that we intend to make use of in the future. All right, so let me move to the next chart here, and this is a really cool feature that is new in version 8, and when we showed it to customers during the beta programs, gotten a lot of great feedback. So you now have the ability to update a running OSGI application without having to stop the app. So this means, you know, customers are able to get much closer to, you know, their goal of zero downtime. With WAS version 7, an administrator would have to stop the application, make the change to the OSGI app, and then restart the app for the change to take place. That's not the case in version 8. You can make the change on a running application, and WAS will figure out when to make the change based on the work that is being done by the application itself. On the next chart, we see a related feature here. So you're also able to extend a running OSGI application with new features or new modules without downtime again. On the next chart, we've added the ability to have multiple security domains within a federated repository, or VMM, virtual member management for short. Now, this really allows for a better separation of administrators, users, and frankly, their credentials. So really helping drive both security and a better user environment for customers. On the next chart, we can talk about some of the overall security hardening that's been done in WAS version 8. Now, some of this has been required by the EE6 spec, but frankly, a lot has been based off of, you know, the work we've been doing with our customers, where we start seeing some common patterns, and we want to ensure that you're getting a more secure and hardened application server environment out of the box. So one of the capabilities we've, you know, change in version 8 here is enhanced cookie protection, so you're able to reduce cross-site attacks for web applications. We've also, on the next chart, enhanced support for single sign-on applications through better support for SAML, WSS API, and WSS Trust. So really just making it easier for your developers to develop more secure applications that are frankly more usable from a customer standpoint. Now, shifting gears on the next couple of charts, talking about migration. So we get a lot of questions from customers about migration, and so we've got two capabilities here. Some of you may be familiar with the Application Migration Toolkit. We intend to update it and provide it concurrently with WAS version 8 with support for migrating to WAS version 8. It's a tool. It's a free Eclipse-based tool that can work with Eclipse or with Rational Application Developer. And what it does is it scans your code and it looks for changes in WAS or, frankly, in the underlying Java specifications. And it lists any of the issues you may run into as you do the migration. Now, some of the issues can be automatically fixed by the tool, or alternatively, the tool gives you some information in terms of what you would need to do to make changes so that the migration is smoother and easier for you. Really do encourage folks on the call to download it and take a look at the and run your application through the code itself today. Now, on the next chart, we'll talk about migration. Now, what we had just said is migration from an application standpoint. There's also the other side of the coin, which is the aspect of migrating your configuration and your actual application server environment from version 6, from 7, over to WAS version 8. So we've provided migration tooling in the past, and we continue to do so and enhance them, these tools, to make it easier and less risky to do a migration to WAS version 8. So with that, I'm going to pause here and pass it back over to the moderator for any questions or comments that would have come up from the audience here. So I know we went through the charts in detail, and there's a lot more content on the charts. We want to make sure that folks on the call had access to all the content as part of the PDF, but really we want to touch on some of the highlights in the short 1 hour that we had together.
Yeah, that was a great whirlwind review, and we do have a bunch of questions. But before, I just want to remind the audience first that if they have not yet submitted their question, they can feel free to do so now. However, before we begin the Q&A, you'll see a feedback form in front of you. So we're going to ask that you would participate in this survey, and again, this allows us to better serve you and to use that feedback to continually improve our webinars. So on to the question and answer portion of our event. And again, as a reminder to participate, you just type your question into the text box and then click the submit question button. So let's see. First question, well, we've got several about mobility, which you mentioned in passing. Savio, do you want to first tell us about whether all mobile web browsers are officially supported or what the nature of our support for the various mobile platforms out there is?
Sure. So from the standpoint of mobile browser support, we're supporting WebKit-based browsers on iOS and Android and also on BlackBerry devices.
Okay. And do you want to go into any more detail, though, about exactly how WES facilitates the development and rollout of applications for mobile devices,
so
regarding the particular problems and challenges that our audience faces?
So there's various ways that you can deliver a mobile application, and I think folks on the call would recognize that one of the ways to deliver a mobile app is actually to build it based on the native device SDK. So you, in that case, you would build one for an Apple SDK for Apple devices, you'd build another application and try and reuse as much as you could, but you'd have to build a separate application for Android devices using the Android SDK and so forth for various devices. Now, what we've heard from customers is that that might have been the way they started their first foray into mobile application development, and generally that they did so through outsourcing to a third party. But now that they're getting a bit more comfortable with mobile, that they're getting a lot more emphasis on delivering mobile applications, they're trying to do it in a way that is, frankly, much more scalable and cost-effective. So they're looking at the class of applications that they can target at a mobile browser so that from a browser standpoint, as long as it's running in a mobile browser, you're able to target much broader mobile devices than having to build one per scratch. Build one application per device. Now, the cool thing with the Web 2.0 feature pack is that you are building a mobile browser application so that it's cross-device, but you're also able to skin the application so it looks more like, for instance, a iPhone application on an iOS device, or it looks more like a Android application on an Android device.
Gotcha. Also, I think you also mentioned this in passing, but we've got a question about it, which is that there are people who are looking to migrate to version 7, but now they're wondering about leapfrogging right to version 8. Do you have any recommendations you want to make about whether that's what you want people to do or not?
Yes. coming out of IBM Impact, our big conference where we announced and did a lot of enablement and presentation on WES version 8 just last week, that was probably the number one question that we were getting from customers, that I'm on an older version of WES. I was looking to go to 7, but I was aware of the version 8 alpha and beta program, so I wanted to wait until the G8 was announced before going forward. We'd love to be able to say that there's a simple answer, and if you answer these four questions, the right place for you to be is WES version 8. Unfortunately, it really depends on your application environment. It depends on your processes. In some situations, it's going to take you 2 years to actually get ready for an internal migration. And that's not a statement of WES itself. It's a statement of the complexity of your application, of your business processes, of your IT environment itself. Now, one thing to keep in mind here is with WES version 7, we offer a 5+3 standard support model, so 5 years standard support, 3 years extended support from GA. So with the WES version 8 GA in 2008, we're getting close to the end of the the minimum five-year standard support if you're looking at a migration that would take, for instance, 2 years. So a lot of customers are facing that and saying, well, you know, maybe I'll skip 7 and go straight to 8. Now, the really great thing that we're offering here is, for instance, with the application migration tool, you're able to take a look at what your application is today and, you know, what changes would be required to get it to run on WAS version 8. In some situations, there's no changes, and you know, he mentioned 3 of the 4 apps that he brought over, there were no changes required. In other cases where there might be changes required, you know, you can address those changes with the tool. What we're recommending to customers is, you know, contact your IBM salesperson, contact your IBM contacts themselves, whether it's folks like me or, you know, your lab advocates, and let's have a chat, because what we're seeing is the migration effort to go from 6.x to 7 versus 6.x to 8 is fairly equivalent. So, you know, some customers could very much benefit from going from 6.x directly to 8.
And you mentioned general availability of Windows. What is the GA date for version 8?
Yes, great question. So the GA date is planned for June 17th.
Okay.
And I apologize for not mentioning that before.
Good. Also, do you want to comment on Webster Application Server 8 as in terms of open source?
Yeah, so we use a lot of open source within Webster Application Server, and frankly, we contribute a lot of our development resources into open source projects, whether it's, you know, OpenJPA, the Dojo community, Apache Ares, and the list goes on and on. So we do spend a lot of time in the open source community, and what we generally are finding with customers is once they start seeing us working in an open source community, they're willing to, you know, use that project during their development process. And the way that we've generally handled, you know, new standards and new programming models through our feature pack strategy helps customers, you know, really get used to new things as part of their open source development efforts. And as their application is getting ready for production, generally we've been able to, you know, provide support for key standards and key programming models through feature packs, which are supported in production environments. And as a result, the customer can, for instance, develop using OpenJPA, and then when it's time to go into production, they were able to, you know, go to production with the WAS feature pack for OSGI applications and JPA 2.0. So that's, you know, the way that we've been driving both usage of open source and helping customers use open source in their environments.
Great. We've got time, I think, for one more. We are getting a question about wireless data migration and security. Do you want to comment on that at all?
Wireless data migration. I'm not sure.
I'm not 100% sure of the question being asked. 24/7 wireless data migration security.
Unfortunately, I don't think I understand what that question is. So
I forgot to ask everybody not to submit cryptic questions. Well, with the time we have left, then I have a couple of closing comments I want to make. But Joachim, do you have anything quickly that you would like to add in closing to share with our audience?
Well, we have had a lot of experience with the version 8 of Web Application Server as it developed, and we just can recommend everybody to look very intensely whether to go to version 8 as fast as possible.
Yeah.
So our statement in the beta process to IBM just last week was, from everything we see now, quality is good, all issues resolved that we know about. Go for it. Go to production.
You
cannot speak for all the other beta participants.
Yeah, actually, so that's a great point, and one I neglected to make. So during our alpha and beta process, we actually had 3x. So over 12,000 participants, 12,000 individual companies that participated in the alpha and beta program. That's 3x more than we've ever had in the past. And as we look at, you know, the actual quality of the product at this point in the release cycle, it's leaps and bounds ahead of where we've been in the past. And frankly, the customer feedback we've been getting in terms of ship readiness, we're quite confident with the, you know, our GA date and the quality of our 8.0 release. So much like what Joachim is saying here, we really do encourage you to take a look at, you know, start with the final beta that's posted right now. Take a look at the migration toolkit and start preparing for, you know, a migration to WAS version 8 based on your environment, of course.
Great. Thanks for that. We're at the top of the hour, so I want to thank everybody for attending today's webcast, Intelligently Manage Your Application Environment and Deliver Rich User Experiences Faster with a WebSphere Application Server V8, which again was brought to you by Information Week, IBM, and United Business Media Tech Web. For more information, you can visit any of the resource links that you've got open in front of you. And also, within the next 24 hours, you will receive a follow-up email with details and a link to today's presentation. Additionally, you can view today's event on demand by visiting www.netseminar.com. This webcast is copyrighted 2011 by United Business Media. The presentation materials are owned by or copyrighted by Information Week and IBM, who are solely responsible for their content, and the individual speakers are solely responsible for their content and their opinions. So on behalf of Joachim and Savio, I'm Lenny Liebman, and I'd like to thank you for your time, and have a great day.